Moments like this kind of make me reminisce, right? Hopefully they bring up some thoughts or memories for you. Maybe those memories of, you know, your elementary years, your growing up years, your middle school days, your long high school days. They start bringing those good childhood memories, right? Now, I don't know what those would be for you. I know for some, it's, you know, kind of those days at the park with your friends, just playing in the playground, no cares. Maybe for some of you, it's, you know, those friendships, those sleepovers that you got to spend with your close friends. Maybe your family road trips, right? Those vacations that you took with your family to, you know, whoever, who knows, right? Those high school, those middle school years. Or maybe one of my favorites, of course, is the no bills or responsibilities, right? Those are my favorite childhood memories. Thinking back on waking up and not having to worry about anything, right? You just get up, you eat your cereal, you go on with your day, and you do whatever your parents told you to do for that day. Now, we also know that we have a lot of different age ranges here, right? We have our younger kids, our elementary, all right? Where, since it's family worship, where are my younger kids? Can you guys make some noise? All right, like two, okay, cool, that's fine, all right. It's okay, it's all right to, you can yell and scream at church today, all right? We won't be mad. So there's the little ones, we have our teens, we have our young adults, we have our regular adults, and then our older folks, right? So we also know that not only did we have those good memories, we also had some bad ones, right? There was some tough times, maybe some pain, maybe some hard lessons that we had to learn. Now, let's be honest. We all learned some hard lessons during our younger years, right? Now, some of us learned those hard lessons through experiences and through our parents, right? Being grounded or punished, okay? So, by a show of hands, okay, how many of you guys learned a lesson by being grounded or punished? Now, I need you to raise your hand and remember, Jesus is watching and mom's here too, all right? So raise your hand if you learned a lesson by being grounded or punished, okay? I see Pastor John with both hands and both feet up, okay? Yes, like many of you, I was a hard-headed kid. I thought I knew it all, and I lived in such a way, okay? But one lesson I remember is, of course, many of us get grounded or punished because of school. And I would say that I was a good student, not great, but good student. But one of the things that my parents knew about me is it wasn't that I would remember or be a good student to know the knowledge, but it was my effort behind it, right? They knew when I was trying, and they knew when I wasn't. And one of the areas that they knew, like, was with math, okay? I could get 90s in math class without trying, all right? And so whenever they saw it dip below a 90, they're like, Carlo, shape up. Now, science was a little different, okay? I tried my hardest. The best I ever got in high school in science was like an 82, okay? So that should tell you that I struggled with science and I had to try over and over. But in eighth grade, I came home after taking a test and had to have my test signed by my parent because I scored a whopping 39, okay? Now, that in itself is pathetic, right? But my parents knew this is not a 39 because you're dumb. This is a 39 because not only are you dumb, but you're lazy, okay? And I remember coming home and showing it to my parents, and my dad At the time, he was just dating my mom, but my dad looked at me and said, "Carlos, what school do you want to go to?" Now, in eighth grade, I'm trying to think through, like, I was like, I want to go to Michigan University. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Not a lot down here, okay? But he told me, with this 39, the closest you're ever going to get to Michigan is working in their cafeteria. Now, this is by no means an offense to fast food service or the food service industry, but he was trying to let me know, listen, with these grades, you're not going to be able to sniff Michigan. The closest is if you get a job there. It doesn't stop. He then told me, this is your weekend homework assignment. You need to write 1,000 times, do you want ketchup and mustard with those fries? And similar to you, I laughed. I thought this was a joke. Like, haha, I get it, Dad. I need to study, okay? And he's like, no. Starting now, 1,000 times by Monday. Okay. Now, if you know anything about me, I have terrible handwriting, okay? If you give me a pen, it looks like I'm holding it for the very first time, okay? And I'm also a lefty, all right? How many lefties in here? Okay. You know the pain and the struggle as you're writing and you're smearing half of it, okay, with your fingers. And so after a full weekend of writing 1,000 times, do you want ketchup and mustard with those fries? I gave it to my mom and dad. It didn't stop. He said, now take this and have your science teacher sign it. Oh my gosh, it's a never-ending punishment. So again, not only the embarrassment of getting a 39 on my science test, the pain and the hard work of wasting a whole weekend that I could have been doing so much more stuff, writing, now I had to go and present it to my science teacher and go, not only am I dumb, but I'm lazy, and here's proof of it. And I had to have my test signed by my parents and my homework signed by my teacher to take to my parents. Now, this was a hard lesson for me to learn, but it was a lesson that I learned. Now, I would love to tell you that I never failed another test, but I never got lower than a 39 ever in my life, okay? So again, we've all experienced lessons or heartache because of our own doing. And in this series that we've been going through, Missing Peace, I love the quote that we've been using by John McGee, right? That quote that says, one of the best ways to improve is to draw a circle around yourself and begin changing everything inside that circle. I think too many times we try to change the world around us and we forget that the change has to come from within. The change starts here before I can go out. And a lot of times we look at our circumstances and we think if we change those circumstances, if those things were to be different, my life would be better, but nothing is changed around you. So again, here's the truth that I want us to get this morning, is that whether, again, you're in elementary, maybe a teen or a 2025 graduate or a young adult or an adult with bills and responsibility, God's purpose for us and our future begins right now. It begins today. In the passage that we're going to be looking at in Daniel 3, we're going to look at three men that decided that they didn't wait for the circumstances around them to change before stepping out in faith. That what we can take from their lives is that they started to live out their faith in their relationship with God today. and didn't wait for anything else. And then it just so happens that God put them and they found themselves in circumstances where now their faith was tested. So if you guys have your Bibles, you guys can turn to Daniel 3. If not, it'll be on the screen or on your app. So if you would follow me, we're going to be looking at the chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first couple of verses and we'll stop. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 says, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet high and 90 feet wide. I'm sorry, and 9 feet wide. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to attend the dedication of the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces assembled for the dedication of the statue the king had set up. Then they stood before the statue Nebuchadnezzar had set up. A herald loudly proclaimed, "People of every nation and language, you are commanded when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall face down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and every kind of music, people of every nation and language fell down and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. We'll stop right here. And we are told that King Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue of himself based off, if you know or have read Daniel 1 and 2, based off the dream that he has. Now, many commentators say that it was his pride that made him think to build this statue. And then some say that it was even more pride that he built this statue in gold. Because if you look at Daniel 2, the dream, it's not just gold. It's gold, bronze, different metals. But part of the interpretation that Daniel gives King Nebuchadnezzar is that you are the King of Kings. That's what it signifies. So he takes this, but he also must have forgotten what Daniel said in verse 37, where it says, "The God of heaven, of the heavens, has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and glory." He forgot that part, so he builds this massive statue. Now we'll continue in verse 8. It says, "The Chaldeans took this opportunity to come forward and maliciously accuse the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'May the king live forever.'" Suckups. "You, as king, have issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music must fall down and worship the gold statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. There are some Jews you have appointed to manage the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Then, in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "We don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And if he can rescue us from the power of you, I'm sorry, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary, and he commanded some of the best soldiers in his armies to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So these men, in their trousers, robes, head coverings, and other clothes, were tied up and thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Since the king's command was so urgent, the furnace, extremely hot and raging flames, killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of blazing fire. We're going to stop right here because this tells us so much about these three men. You read just this passage in these last few verses, and you see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they tattled on them. These Chaldeans went and said, "Hey, king, you're the king forever, right? Little bunch of suck-ups." And like, "Hey, these guys aren't doing what you told them to do." And they did it on purpose because they knew what the decree said, right? That if they don't do it, the punishment was for them to go into the furnace. And these men went and told on them. And when they were faced with King Nebuchadnezzar, their words and their response to the king showed so much of who they were. But what I want us to see is that these men, it wasn't overnight. It wasn't that these men became godly men from chapter 2 to chapter 3. That all of a sudden, because this gold statue was up there, that all of a sudden now they were godly men. No, they had been making decisions in the past. They were making decisions in their everyday life. That when their circumstances or their situation changed, they were just being who they were. Men that were relying on God. Men that were trusting God. Faithful to God and his word. So just a couple of things that I wanted to highlight. Is the first thing is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego relied on God's sovereignty. They trusted God. And they trusted that God was in control, that even during difficult times, threatening situations, they didn't consider it foolish to trust God. They even looked at the king's power in comparison to God's power. And they understood who was in control. Now, I've never been put in a situation like that. But that is some faith. Which makes you think back or makes you look around at the persecuted church and the persecution that's happening in other parts of this world. That's similar to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. People are making choices. Do I follow the king and the rule of the land, or do I follow God? But God's sovereignty, as Romans 8 states, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. I came yesterday to the biblical counseling seminar, and Dr. Bell defined sovereignty as God takes what is wicked and turns it to his good. To think that the situation that I'm in is not the best, that there's outside forces, circumstances, situations that are happening that are not good, that are, just like in this case, perhaps wicked, but God's good. Just as we say every morning, every Sunday, God's good all the time, and all the time, God is good. But to say it when you're in the face of opposition, of wickedness, of evil, not only that, but these men stayed faithful to God's word. See, this wasn't a difference of opinion when it came to bowing down to the statue, right? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't go, you know what? Doesn't look like you, king. I mean, I would, but it's gold. I'm allergic to gold. It's not happening. Like, this was not a difference of opinion based on their preferences. This was based on their convictions. This was based on the word. Knowing that they were to not bow down to any idol, any gods, but the one true God. So when they stepped up, they knew what they needed to do. They stayed faithful to God's word. They clung to his promises, his truths, and his law. Knowing that these weren't just suggestions to live by, but that these were truths, rules that God had put in place for their benefit. So they remained faithful to his word. They also were prepared to sacrifice their lives for their convictions. One of the things that he said, that they say is, listen, our God can save us. We know that. But even if he chooses not to save us, we still know who the true God is. Man, I don't know about you, but sometimes just peer pressure makes me leave convictions. Or maybe just the understanding of the situation that we put ourselves in sometimes makes us leave our convictions or lower our standards. These men were willing to die for their convictions. And I don't say that to shame you or guilt you, because here's the thing about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and many, aside from Jesus, men and women in the Bible, is they're just like you and me. They just lived in a different time, and people wrote about them. But people will remember you for the choices that you make as well. And how many times do we put our convictions in front of many things? And we realize this is what God says. Because thus says the Lord, I will do that. Because thus says the Lord, I will not do that. And then the last thing is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fully surrendered to God's will for their life. See, their faith was not conditional. It wasn't man, when times are good, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to obey his word. But when times get tough, I'm going to just push it off to the side. The issue was not their comfort. It was their obedience to God. And what I love about this story is we haven't even gotten to the best part of it. Like, this is what's happening, and this is the example that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are showing us. And we haven't even finished the story. Now, if you've read it, you know it ends really good. But whether they die or not, they have shown us what it looks like to have purpose in life. See, I think sometimes in this world, and we've done this growing up as well, like sometimes we look at purpose and we kind of mystify it. We make it sound like it's this big grand thing that, like, if you squint and like maybe hold your head and like clap twice, like maybe magically God will reveal that purpose for your life. Or even as kids, teenagers, you think, man, if I just hit that next milestone in life, like God will reveal it then. Like right now, I'm just a kid. Like right now, I'm just in third grade. Like what does God want from me? Like maybe when I get to middle school, or maybe when I get to high school, or maybe when I get to college, or maybe when I graduate and get a career, or maybe when I get married, or maybe when I get that certain amount of commas in my bank account, or maybe when I get that, when does it stop? And we think God's purpose is waiting for us down the line. And maybe God's just saying, today. Start today. I will reveal your purpose, but your purpose right now is to be a faithful believer. To be faithful to me. To be faithful to my word. That if I do what God's called me to do, that is my purpose, then I will open up the doors and the paths for you to follow and live out your purpose. Because again, God's purpose for your future begins right now. As I mentioned, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't overnight become godly people from Daniel 2 to Daniel 3. If you read Daniel 1, you see that Daniel and his three friends, they had been faithful to God then. And they were just faithful to everything that God provided and did for them. And this wasn't anything amazing. It's amazing to us, but for them, it was just living out their faith. It was a Tuesday for them. You know what I mean? This was just an ordinary day for them because they knew, I've been faithful then, I'm going to be faithful today. I was talking to my barber on Friday. All right. Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate you. And I was talking to him, and he was telling me that God's been doing a work in his life. That he moved from California, and he had a relationship with God. He said it was on and off. But he said part of the reason is he moved is he really wanted his wife to know Jesus and know him in a personal way. And through these last 5 years, God's been working in his life and in his wife's life. And God's just been doing some amazing things. And he was telling me actually today that he was going to get, him and his wife were getting baptized. So he's telling me all this, but while he's cutting my hair, which I didn't want to hear at the time, but he's like, man, this is not what I want to do the rest of my life. And in my mind, I'm like, well, at least for the next 30 minutes, my brother, right? Like, please, just finish it out and then you could, right? No, but he's telling me, he's realizing like, this is not it. And he's like, man, I'm about to be 30. And this is all I've known for the last 15 plus years. He's like, I didn't do after school activities. I went to the barbershop to learn how to cut hair. This is all I know. But this isn't what God has for me. Which is a great line to say, but I think what followed that afterwards was, but I don't know what that looks like. But you know what I do every day? I show up early to the shop and I sit at my chair and I read God's word. And when I go to lunch, I go to the back and I read God's word and I pray. I don't know what God has for me, but I want to start now. I'm like, brother, can you say that again so I can take some notes? Man, we should all have that same heart and mindset, whether we're in elementary school, a graduate, or an old adult. Let's finish out the story. The king Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm, and he said to his advisors, "Didn't we throw three men bound into the fire?" "Yes, of course, your majesty," they replied. They replied to the king. He exclaimed, "Look, I see four men not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed. The fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Your servants of the Most High God, come out." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered around them, they saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair on their heads was singed. Their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar explained, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angels and rescued his servants who trusted in him. They violated the king's commands and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I issue a decree that anyone of any people, nation, or language who says anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and his house made a garbage dump. For there is no other God who is able to deliver like this." Then the king rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The story has no effect on who these men were, but it's a celebration of what God can do. That in whatever midst, circumstance, situation you find yourselves, if God has done a work in your life, then now you can face those circumstances. You might not know what will happen, but you know who's there, who goes before you. So just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're called to live out God's purpose in your life today. Your life today in the moment, because even when times seem difficult, scary, doubtful, God is right there with you. And if you remain faithful to him, his word, it'll make a difference in your life today and in your future. So whether it's the local college, the university, whether you're joining the workforce, or taking a gap year, or whether you're heading home or to work on Tuesday, or to that relationship, that maybe you can start living out your purpose today. then, today, that through it all, your life would glorify him. And when others see you, they see God's goodness. The fact that King Nebuchadnezzar spoke so highly of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should encourage us, should let us know that when we walk into our homes, relationships, workplace, schools, that they would say, look at the God of Carlos. So whatever that next step is for you, as we have talked about these last couple of weeks, can I encourage you to take that step today? Don't wait till you get to middle school or high school or college or that career or that 401k or that retirement or that home, that you would be faithful today. Live out your purpose today. Let tomorrow handle itself because God's already there. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Father, because in the midst of their lives and their trouble in Daniel 3, they remained who they were, faithful to you. They didn't do anything out of the ordinary except remain who they were. So, Lord, I pray for the ones in here that are searching for their next steps, that are trying to figure out what you desire or want for them. Father, that they would make a decision today to follow you. Maybe there's some of you in here that have been around church or Christian things. But this God that we read about in Daniel 3 seems so distant to you. And the reason is because you don't have a relationship with this God. And so I want to open an invitation to you to know this God personally today. The Bible says that it is our sin that separates us from a holy God. It's our mess-ups, our screw-ups, our flaws that have kept us away from God. But in God's sovereignty, he sent his son Jesus to this earth to die for you and your sins. And 3 days later, came back to life. And scripture is clear that it's only through Jesus and the price that he paid on the cross that we can know forgiveness, that we can know salvation and a relationship with God. And all you have to do is admit that you are a sinner. Believe in what Jesus did on the cross and what he did 3 days later coming back to life. And confess Jesus as Lord. And the same God that we read in Daniel 3 is the same God that you can call out today to. And for the rest of us that know God, that know Jesus, Father, that you would show us today what that next step is for our faith, for our purpose. It's nothing magical, but it's something that we have to live today. That as we find out our purpose today, which is you, you will open up those doors and show us what it looks like in our future. So reveal those steps to us, Father. We love you. We pray this in your name.